Just really excited about the goodness of God and just what God's doing. Just had a great week again. I don't know if you're involved in small groups or not, but small groups are great. They're just awesome. We had our young adult small group this week, and just, you know, we get to pray for things while they're happening. We get to pray for people while they're going through stuff. We get to be a part of their life, and just God's good that way. So just, you know, if you're not in a small group, just look online or look in your bulletin. There's stuff going on now. I know things are winding down a little bit in the summer, but we're going to be doing things like John and Arda did at their house this past week. They had a bunch of couples over. How many? 12 couples at their house, and just, you know, just gather together. Find a reason to get together. You know, find a reason to connect with each other. Find a reason to hang around in the foyer after church, in the cafe, and just enjoy each other, connect with each other. Life is about relationships, and God's kingdom is about that. The first command Jesus gave was to love God and to love each other. And then after that, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So before we get to preach the gospel to all the people in the world, we've got to love each other first. And we're talking about relationships. So one of the relationships we built is with a guy named Mark Davey. And those of you that have been here for a while know him. And we're getting set 4 weeks, I think, we're away from our mission trip now. If you're planning on going, we need you to sign up this week in the guest services there. We need to get your name down. We need to start making concrete details now about our mission trip. We have raised a bunch of money, I think somewhere around $1,500, and I know we're going to do something as a church chipping in toward that. And just like, you know, let's get behind this. If you have the opportunity to go, if you have an opportunity to be there, then be there. If you can't make it, we're going from Wednesday the 29th till, I believe, Monday. I think it's the 3rd. If you can't go for the whole weekend, if you can't get away on Wednesday, and you can get up there on Thursday or Friday, Friday's a long weekend, it's the Canada Day weekend, then you can do that. Come on up. We'll find a way to use you and spend you, because that's what God wants to do. He wants us to give our lives for His kingdom, and that's what we're going to do. We're gonna be doing a tent crusade up there with Mark Davey. We're going to be doing some work around the church up there in Timmins, fixing their building. We're going to be doing a lot of street ministry and car washes and barbecues and all kinds of fun stuff. So sign up if you can. I think that's it for announcements. So today, we're going to continue on with our series on relationships. We're almost done. As I said, in a couple weeks, we're going to start a new series. I just really, as we were worshiping this morning, I was thinking about the day when we stood up at the front of the church with our boys and we dedicated them to God. You know, we gave them to God and we said, God, these are your children. Help us to raise them the best we can. And that's what we're talking about today, is relationship in families. My goal is to bring our boys from that place where they were, you know, just cooing and pooping in their diapers and doing all this crazy stuff to, you know, a few years from now, where I could present them to people and say, these are my beloved sons in whom I'm well pleased. As grown men that I stand behind, and I say, I approve of these guys. I know you can trust them. They're good men. So that you'll know that they're men, and that they'll know they're men. That at that first point, we were making all the decisions for them. We were training them. We were teaching them everything. To the point when we released them as men, that they're making decisions for themselves, that they're taking responsibility for their life. So that's what we've been talking about over the last couple weeks, is just how do we raise our kids to serve God? How do we raise them? The Bible teaches us that each one of us has to come to an encounter with God. Each one of us has to come to a place where we make a decision to serve God for ourselves. I can't get my kids to heaven on my good merits. My kids have to serve God for themselves. That's what they have to choose. And as I've told you over the last couple of weeks, we've done things and we've processed that with them through their life. There was a time where I've sat down with each of my sons and said, okay, boys, you're not God's grandchildren. You have to make a choice to serve God for yourself. And up to this point in your life, you followed your dad and your mom, and you followed us as we've served Jesus. But now you have to decide for yourself. And with Levi, we went through probably a 2 or 3 year process where, like, I didn't want him to just say, yes, I love God because you love God, Dad. Although, that's cool. I wanted him to love God because he loved God. And we talked about it a lot. We talked about the fact that it was his decision. It was his commitment. And it's a commitment that when you make it, you don't make Jesus a part of your life. You make him a Lord, the Lord of your life. That it was a commitment that absorbed your whole being. That it wasn't just something, a small and light thing. And I remember we were at Valiant 2 years ago, the men's conference. And Jim Cobray was up there and he gave a call to salvation for salvation. And my son walked up and he said, I'm making a decision to follow Jesus. And in my heart, the prayers that I had prayed for so long were answered. And that's the joy of my heart. Logan did it just shortly after that. He was real quick and he really just, you know, he's real passionate, real decided kid, you know. So he did it. And we just watching our boys grow in God. Watching them as they read God's word each day and as they come to us and tell us what they're learning and what they're doing and how they're growing. I'm really excited about a couple things. One of the things that's really cool right now is if you get a chance, get on our website and click on my blog, Pastor's blog on the website. And then from that website, from that blog, you can go to Judah's blog, Judah, my nephew. Judah's a really good writer. He's been writing about his journey with God over the past couple months. It's called Judah's Random Thoughts. So to get a chance, just read through it, because I think it'll inspire you. We want to see our kids serve Jesus. We want to see them grow up to love God and to serve God and to be wise about it, right? I love emotion. I love feeling. We're worshiping this morning, and we're singing, Lord, there's none like you. And I got tears coming down my eyes, surprise, surprise. Because I'm just like so excited to feel the presence of God. But we have to also understand that God, we have to have a logical and we have to have a mind decision that we're going to serve Him and follow Him. It can't just be emotional. Emotion is cool. I love it. I enjoy it. I ride the waves of it. But there's times where there's no emotion and we got to serve God just because we decided to. And it's cool when we see that. So, we've been talking about how in our house, God has got a better way for us to live. That the way the world lives and the way that the church has lived for so long is not really God's way. That if we're going to do good, right, and not evil, doing good is living God's will, God's way. And doing evil is really anything but that. Right? If we live any other way, except God's way, it's not right in the eyes of God. I don't want to stand before God one day and have Him say to me, well, you did a good job in the world's eyes, but you didn't really raise your family, you didn't really live life the way that I've called you to live it. And I think a lot of times we take our cues from society. Society is messed up. I heard some good news the other day. I actually thought it was really cool to hear good news about families. They did statistics in the States, and from all the couples that were married from 1990 till now, 75% are still together. Well, that's a big deal. It was 50% up till just a while back, and now in that age group, 75% are together. We thought it was getting worse, but it's getting better. God's doing something. God's changing us. God's changing the world. I believe that. But really, for the world to change, the church has to change. For the church to change, the family have to change. For the family to change, you as individuals, me as an individual, need to change. And we need to keep serving God and following God. It's not complicated, really, but it is challenging. Right? There's things in this life that try and pull us away from doing God's will, God's way. There's our own flesh. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 16 and 17 that the flesh wars against the spirit against the flesh. These two things will never agree. So the side of us that wants to follow God, the side of us that wants to pursue God, the side of us that wants to connect with God is always fighting against the side of us that is carnal, fleshly, like of this earth, right? Our bodies, our desires, all those things. But then we also know, the Bible teaches us, that we have an enemy, that's Satan. that's always trying to separate us from God. But God said, if you'll serve me and you'll love me, there's nothing can separate you from me. There's nothing. But we need to stay in God. We need to stay focused on Him. We need to give our lives to Him and live for Him. He gives us the power and the manual, right? If you wonder how to live God's will, God's way, read the book, right? Read the Bible. Read it every day. Learn to love it. It's relevant, right? It's as relevant today as it was 4,000 years ago, as it was 2,000 years ago, as it was 500 years ago, as it was when our grandparents walked the earth. It's relevant like that today in our culture, in our society. And we got to live by it. So we get, not only do we get to live God's will, we get to know how to live God's will, and we get empowered by God to do it. He gave us His Holy Spirit. He gave us His Word. He gave us love. He gave us all these things so that we could live God's way. So last week we talked about the whole idea of biblical parenting and raising our kids God's way. Proverbs 22 verse 6 is probably one of the verses that most people would go to when they're talking about raising godly kids. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So in Matthew Henry's commentary, he breaks down what that means, train up a child in the way he should go. It says, the Hebrew of this clause is curious. It means to initiate the child at the opening or the mouth of his path. When he comes to the opening of the way of life, being able to walk alone and to choose, stop at this entrance and begin a series of instructions, how he is to conduct himself in every step he takes. Show him the duties, the dangers, and the blessings of the path. Give him directions about how to perform the duties, how to escape the dangers, and how to secure the blessing, which all lies before him. Fix these on his mind by daily inculcation till their impression becomes indelible. Then lead him to practice by slow and almost imperceptible degrees, till each indelible impression becomes a strongly eradicated habit. Beg incessantly the blessing of God on all this teaching and discipline, and then you have obeyed the injunction of the wisest of men. And there is hardly any likelihood that such impression shall ever be effaced or taken away, or that such habits shall ever be destroyed. So there's this whole idea of being really, really focused, being really intentional in how we raise our kids, right? As I said, I want to get them from the point, and God does too, from where we dedicate them to God as a child to where now they're fully grown and developed adults. Right? Where they are not taking 30 years to become men or women. Right? But that in a good amount of time, we've transferred authority in their life from us to them, but really from God through us to God through them. But it's an intentional walk. You cannot make all the decisions for your kids until they're 17 and then at 17 say, good luck with that. There's a process we have to go through, a walking beside, a thinking process to help them do that. We need to think about parenting. We need to be intentional about it. We also talked last week about how we need to have the presence of Jesus in our homes. Like the whole deal about going to church on Sunday and then not talking about it for the rest of the week and not really living it the rest of the week or not really having God be part of our life for the rest of the week is stupid. It's hypocritical. It's crazy. Like, I don't know why you come here on Sunday if you're only going to do that Sunday. If you're just going to play a game, please stay home. You know what? It's nice to fill the seats. Cool. It's nice to have you all here. But don't play games with God. If you're going to serve Him, then serve Him. Serve Him with your heart. Serve Him every day of your life. If you're bored as a Christian, it's because you chose it. You don't need to be bored. You can live for Him. You can have a life with Him. And He wants you to. But we need to bring the presence of Jesus into our homes. We do that, parents, by having a relationship with God ourselves. We have to have a relationship with God. We have to crack open the Word. We have to talk about it. We have to think about it. We have to meditate on it. We have to let it pour forth out of us. Not just as like opening a devotion or reading something somebody else thought or experienced, which is still fine. But you got to have some thought and experience yourself. You got to be growing yourself. And if you think, well, I'm 50 years old now, I don't need to grow anymore. I'm 40, I'm 30, whatever, I'm 70, I'm 85, whatever you are, and you think I don't have to grow anymore? Really, we were meant to live forever, right? That's what we were created, to live forever. And if you think you've got it in 85 years, you're just a kid. You just barely know what's going on. So like, keep searching and keep getting to know God more. If you're married, you understand this, right? Been married for going to be 18 years this year. And I find out new things about Christine all the time. She's changing. She's growing as a person. And I'm growing as a person. And I find out new things about her all the time that I didn't really know. Things she cares about, things she's intentional about, things she loves, things she hates. And God, we can get to know God more and more and more and more. So, like, enjoy it. Bring God into your home. Bring the presence of the Lord into your home. He wants to be with you. That's why Jesus gave his life, so that we could be connected to God again, so that we could have an open doorway to him, so that we could walk with him and talk with him, right? It wasn't just so that we could get to heaven someday, which is great, and we want to go to heaven, but it's so that we can have a relationship with him now. The Bible said now, because of the blood of Jesus, we can walk boldly into the throne room of grace and ask for help in our time of need. The Bible talks about how we can call God Abba or Daddy. He's our God, and we get to be with him. So take advantage of that. Love God. Enjoy him. Enjoy his presence. Don't just let it slide. We also talked about, and we need to treat our kids with the love of God. Right? God the Father is loving. The Bible said if we as earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more does God our Father know how to give gifts to those who love him? Well, there's this whole idea that God is just an amazing person that loves us. Our kids should never doubt our love. Never doubt our love. There could be times where they're ticked at us because we said no, or because we had to punish them for something, or we had to, you know, do some discipline in their life. They could be ticked. Sometimes we get ticked at God, right? It's true. But they should never doubt that we love them. We should never give them an opportunity to wonder if we love them. That word, those words should flow from our mouth every day toward our children. I love you. I love you. I love you. And then we should hug them. And even when they get a little older and they don't like it so much, we should give them a kiss once in a while. And we should hold them and tell them we're proud of them. And we should do this because it's good for them. It's good for them. It's great, right, Judah? Looking forward to that after church? Cool. Judah's random thoughts. Don't hug me or kiss me. But like, you know what? It's good for our kids to know we love them. It's something that we say every time we leave the house. If I'm going out to cut grass and Christine's at work and the kids are in the basement with the other thing they love, their video games, then I always open the basement door and I yell down, "Hey guys, I'm going out to cut the grass. Love ya." Right? Because I want them to know every time that I talk to them that I love them. And I want to show it in every possible way I can. So I want to give thought to them. Just because I want them to experience the love of a father through their father. I want them to experience the love of a mother through their mother. And I want them to be able to relate that to their relationship with God. I want my kids to connect with God. I beg God every day. And you might say, that sounds silly to beg. I don't care. I'm begging. Because I want my kids to serve Jesus every day of their life. I want them to live for him. I want them to love him. I don't want it to be a generation that has to go doing all kinds of crazy things and then come back to God. I want to raise a generation of kids that love God from start to finish, that every day of their life, they can say, I love God. I want that so much for my family. I want that so much for your kids. And I'm telling you, like, when I'm here on a Thursday night and we're worshiping God and I'm watching, like, you know, 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds and 16-year-olds and 18-year-olds and some 19 and 20-year-olds once in a while, standing with their hearts and their arms raised to God in worship, don't matter who's standing around them, I'm like, God, thank you. You know, we had a girl that we were talking the other day about what we want our life to say, you know, in the end. One girl that comes here, she gave her heart to the Lord last year sometime. And you know, like she said, I just want to make a difference. I want my life to make a difference. And I said, you know what, girl, you made a difference because when I watch you grow, when I'm watching you worship, it makes a difference for me. You know what? We have some great kids in this church. And we have some great families in this. But let's keep working at it. Let's keep going for it. Let's keep trying real hard. God loves you. God loves your kids. Let's make sure we do this as good as we can. Right? Let's love God and serve God. Let's raise a generation that loves and serves Him. So today, I want to go on. So, remember, number one point today. Remember that your kids, that they're your children, and they're not your friends. Like, seriously. If your kid's your best friend, get a life. I love my kids, love with all my heart. But they're kids. And they don't need me to be cool. They don't need me to dress like they dress. They don't need me to understand all their language, although it doesn't hurt. I don't need them to be impressed with me. I don't need them to think I'm cool. I don't really care, honestly. I love them, and I'm their dad. They can have tons of friends. Like, there's like tons of teenagers, even around this church. There's tons of them. You want a friend? Go find a friend. I'm your dad. I'm going to be friendly. Doesn't mean you can't be friendly with your kids. You should be friendly. And you should love your kids. But you're not their buddy. You're not their buddy. They don't need a buddy. They need an adult that loves them and that will show them the way. Right? Like, seriously. I say it again. If you got to find your identity in how your kid thinks about you, or if they think you're cool or not, get a life. I'm serious. For your kids' sake, get a life. Like, they need you to be a parent. I'll tell you, if there's anything this generation needs today, it's for some parents, for some adults, for some mature people to sit with them and to listen to them and to tell them the truth in love, to tell them what they need to know to get through this life and to do it well. To show them the way through rough waters. Like, seriously, if we look at the way the world is today, when I was a kid, you know, like Gilligan's Island and Ginger were like the sexiest thing on TV. Like, but now, man alive, you turn on that TV set, these kids got rough waters to sail through. There's a lot of confusion. Like, I watched in a commercial the other day, guys kissing guys, girls kissing girls. Like, seriously. This is the generation they have to grow up in. This is a mess. This is not the way God intended us to live. He wants us to live life before Him. But our kids, it's in their face all the time. Like, seriously, news channels, shut them off. Like, you talk about being depressed. Like, I did a couple of weeks of news cycle when we were having the elections. Man, like, oh yeah, 500 people died this morning in an earthquake. 120 people got sucked up in a tornado. Like, you know, like, this person got raped on a bus. This person got murdered in downtown Buffalo. And like, do we need to know every bit of hurt going on in the world? Like, yeah, we should care about things, but how much hurt can you absorb and how much can our kids absorb? How much of that stuff are we going to allow them to go through? We need to be a parent to them. We need to shut the thing off sometimes. We need to sit down with them and, and talk about the right things and how to live life. We need to be brave enough to say no to them. Don't be afraid. They'll try and stare you down. Stare back. I don't care if your heart's pounding out of your chest. Be brave. They're not that tough. Honestly. They're bluffing. They're not going to hurt you. Most of the time, they're not going to walk out on you if you'll love them. But be their parent. Be their parent. Love them. Don't just say yes because they annoy you. Like, you know, my kids have been begging me for something for ages, like Xbox Live, right? They want Xbox Live. And they ask me like every 2 weeks. You know, so they come with their hat in their hand and they say, "Dad, I got to talk to you." Right? And I'm like, "About what?" Right? "Oh, well, you know, like, have you thought about like Xbox Live?" "Yeah, I thought about it." "What was I supposed to think about it?" Right? So we have this discussion regularly about Xbox Live. And you know what? When they were little, I didn't really want them on it. They're getting a little bigger now. So I said to them the other day, they come up again, hat in hand, and like, "Dad, have you thought about it?" "No, I haven't thought about it." "I don't know what to think about, Levi and Logan. I don't know what to do," right? "So why don't you tell me about Xbox Live? You tell me what it is. Tell me what it costs. Tell me what your boundaries are going to be for your life in it. Tell me, like, what you're going to get for a punishment when you don't do it right, when you go over time too long or doing things you shouldn't be doing. And you present that to me and your mom, and we'll talk about it." So they came up, you know, got this whole presentation together, and, you know, like, deal, and now they're sitting waiting for the result of that deal. Right? And we do it because we love them. I want them to be protected. But I want them to know what's going on. I want them to be able to navigate the world properly. But I want to help them with that. I want to be part of it. I want to help them to make good decisions. I want them to be able to present their ideas and views to me and not just want things because they want them. If they want them, they should explain why they want them. They should explain how they're going to pay for it, not me going to pay for it. You know, every time we make a trip to the game store, they got to pay. I'm not paying, right? And these things, they have to learn. And because I'm their parent, I have to help them to make those decisions. I have to be not afraid to say no, and you got to be the same. So, this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14 to 16. I'm not writing all this, and this is from the Message Bible. I'm not writing all this as a neighborhood scold, just to make you feel rotten. I'm writing as a father to you, my children. I love you. I want you to grow up well, not spoiled. It's a great verse for us to memorize as parents. And we can repeat it whenever our kids ask us for something. I'm not saying this because, but anyway, verse 15. There are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong. But there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help you grow up. It was as Jesus helped me proclaim God's message to you that I became your father. I'm not, you know, asking you to do anything I'm not already doing myself. So there's this whole idea in this verse that as fathers, as parents, right, we aren't just letting them do things. We're not just telling them what they did wrong, but we're helping them do the right thing. And when they do wrong, we're going to explain how to do it right so that they'll grow up and not be spoiled. So it's really important for us as parents to do this. There are a lot of people that will either agree with your kids to gain influence, or there are a lot of people that will put them down and scold them because they want to put them down. But you're called to be a parent to them, willing to take the time and effort required to help them grow up. We need to really take responsibility for loving our kids unconditionally and also for teaching them to follow God and develop into mature Christians. Our kids are our biggest blessing and our greatest responsibility, so let's take it serious. Let's take it serious. Let's be adults, and let's let them be kids. I can't beat my kids at Xbox games, and I don't care. But I can teach my kids a few things. I can tell them some things. I can grow, and I can teach them to grow too. So the second thing is be consistent. Be consistent. Don't be like one way one day and one way the next. Don't be like all, oh yeah, buddy, lovey, and then the next day be angry parent. Like just nasty parent. Don't be like really passionate. This happened a bunch of years ago and drove me nutty. I've been a youth pastor for 27 years, and like there was this family, and the kids in the family got really on fire for God. They really, you know, like they had an encounter with God. They wanted to live for God. So they're driving to church one morning, and they're flipping radio stations. And like the father puts on like, I don't know, like some country western station, right? And the mother says, can't do that. It's Sunday. Only can listen to WDCX on Sunday, right? So the kid goes, well, I thought that if we're Christians, we live the same all the time. So if it's not good for us on Saturday, and then if it's not good for us on Sunday, why do we listen to it on Saturday? And then the kid got grounded for a month for being a smart mouth. Like, that's inconsistency. We live for Jesus every day. These are things that like those kids, most of them aren't serving God today. And it's because of inconsistency. Like, we are Christians, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and all day Saturday or whatever. You know, that's what we are. We need to do that. We can't be, okay, so there's this deal. We are a little bit different when we're out, right? We have our going out kind of persona, right? We have our way we are when we're out, and we have our way we are when we're home, right? If you don't think you have that, tell me why you feel more relaxed at home, right? Like, when you get home, If I've had people over our house for 3 or 4 days, then when they leave, I go, and it's not because that they're bad people, and it's not because they expect anything out of me, but when you have guests or when you're out in public, you just start a little bit more, you know, like refined. You're a little bit more careful about what you say. You're a little bit more, you know, like just, you know, but, and when you're home, you're a little just more relaxed, you know, like. If my sons pass gas at church, I'm like, Levi, stop it, right? But if they do it at home, I laugh, right? It's different where we are. Now, it's just being funny, but it's real. It's true, right? I think it's hilarious, actually. But I actually think it's hilarious at church, but sorry. but our personality, the way we act can be a little bit different, but our person shouldn't be different. Our love for God shouldn't be different. Our character shouldn't be different. Our habits could be a little bit more light and restful, but we ought to live like for Jesus all the time. So if we have rules, we should have rules, right? If you feel a certain way about something, then you should stick with the way it is, right? Like, I know when we were kids, we weren't allowed to date till we're 18. My kids aren't allowed to date till they're 18. But if we like somebody, and my parents knew we liked somebody, you know, we were allowed to have them over to the house, and we'd have them over for lunch and things like that. And, you know, it was all cute, but we weren't allowed to go to our rooms, you know, and be alone. We weren't allowed to sit in rooms alone. We weren't allowed to separate ourselves from the herd, right? We had to stay together. And we had a herd. We had, like, 8 kids in the house, so we had a herd, right? But like, that rule never changed. And when I was, like, 26 and dating Christine, like, those rules were still there. Like, we were allowed dating, right? But not being alone in a room by yourself, like, you know, like, just, you know, be good, be safe, you know, like, but it stayed the same, consistency. My dad was like this. If you were 1 minute late for your curfew, you might as well be an hour late, right? So, and he was consistent in that. So if I was a minute late, I was an hour late, guaranteed, for sure. If I knew I couldn't make it, I wasn't going to try. But like, I knew that he was consistent in that, and I knew that when I got home, I was going to pay a dear price for being late, and it was usually involved car keys, right? But like, be consistent. And if you're like, you know, saying I love you to your kids at home, don't be afraid to say I love you to your kids when you're out. You know, if you hug your kids at home, nothing wrong with hugging your kids in public. They might turn a little red and squirm a little bit, but it's good for them. Like, after church, everybody grab your kids, hunt them down, give them a big hug, big kiss, and tell them you love them, right? Right on. Everybody that doesn't have parents here today is going, woohoo! But like, be consistent. The Bible says in Matthew 5:37, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Whatever is more than these is of the evil one. So whenever you're kind of wavering and you're acting different in different situations, and you're changing your attitudes and your rules and all these things, it's of the evil one. Third point, be diligent. It's a lot the same. It goes in hand with consistency. But we need to be diligent in raising our kids because the responsibility of raising kids is one of the most important things we have been given to do in life. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 to 7. Remember, we had to memorize this in our school training. It was Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Just imagine, right? And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. These words which I command you this day shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Diligently is hard work. Diligently is steady at it. Diligently is committing to get the job done no matter how long it takes. We're diligent in a lot of ways, right? We're diligent in, like, eating, right? Everybody eats most days, two or three times. You don't even really have to think about it. You get up in the morning and you say, well, hungry, going to have something to eat. You know, we're diligent in, like, getting up in the morning. We're diligent in like, you know, going out and making money, making a living. We're diligent to get up on time and go to work. We're diligent, a lot of people, in cleaning their house. A lot of people are diligent in keeping their car nice and neat and clean. We're diligent in a lot of things. Problem is, a lot of people aren't diligent in raising their kids. I always think about the joke, which really isn't a joke, but the guy who, you know, like, has this nice BMW car, and this kid comes down the road, from down the road, 18-year-old boy, and says, you know, sir, I'd really like to take your car out. I'd like to take it out, and I'm going to go to a nice restaurant with it, and I'm going to take it to the car wash, and I'm going to give it a nice wash, and we're going to, you know, like, just, I'm going to treat your car real nice. I'd love to take your car out. And the guy, like, is like, not a chance. Get lost, you're not touching my car. But then the same kid comes a week later and says, well, I'd like to take your daughter out. You know, and it's like, oh, yeah, go ahead, whatever, right? But, like, we need to be diligent. We need to stick with it. We need to chase things down and be diligent. Can't leave the training of your kids to school. You can't leave the training of your kids to the church. You can't leave the training of your kids to friends, and especially not to the TV, right? TV's messed up now. There's some good things on TV, and you can enjoy that, but TV's got lots of problems. We have to train our kids and be diligent about it. When my youngest was little, I was talking about this with someone the other day, because we had the school here, and pretty strict school, and my youngest son was like, if you know him now, you know he's not like this anymore. He's actually the opposite. But he was stubborn, and he was strong-willed, and he was like just, he was a kid that was going to do what he wanted to do, and no one was going to tell him any different. Like, he was going to do it. And like, you know, we tried the, you know, we tried that. But he'd look at you and go, that all you got? Like, really? You know, like, it was like, it didn't faze him. And I mean, like you know the old saying, it hurts me more than it hurts them, and it does. So it wasn't working, couldn't use that one. So we came up with this idea. We have this little egg timer, and we still have it at our house, right? And we'd set it for 2 minutes, and we'd tell them, you sit on that chair for 2 minutes, and you don't move. You put your hands on your lap, and you just sit there, and you don't move, and you don't say anything for 2 minutes. Well, he'd sit there, and he'd be like, you know, so reset the timer, 2 minutes again. And then, you know, like, it'd be almost done, and he'd, like, kick his foot, just pushing, you know, trying to get his way, and set the timer again. And then he would, like, but Mom, set the timer. And there was times where we had him on that chair for, like, 45 minutes to an hour and reset the timer. And I'm telling you, that is a huge pain in the neck, like, seriously. And we'd do this over and over. And over. We thought when we sent him to school for sure, like, this is going to be the worst kid they ever had to deal with, right? But we were, like, diligent in training him. We were diligent. We stuck with it. We set the timer over and over and over until one day he started sitting, and he'd sit still. And then the behaviors that got him to have to sit started to disappear, and he just started to be a real pleasant and real loving kid to the point now where, like, he's at school, and people, like, the kids just love him. He's, like, the easiest going kid. He's so kind. He's so thoughtful. I'm bragging. He's my kid. But, like, seriously, if those of you that know him know he's that way. He's just a really thoughtful, really sincere kid. And really, when he starts getting out of line now, I just have to talk to him and say, you know what? You need to stop that. And he stops. And it takes effort. And this didn't happen in one day and in one shot at the chair. This was like weeks and months of just training and discipline. The difference between training and teaching, teaching helps you to get the right answer, right? You know, like 1 + 1 = 2, right? That's teaching. Training is when you teach people to react in a way, right? They don't have basic teaching for army people, right? They have basic training. They get shot at, they go under the barbed wire, they go through the tires, they do all this crazy stuff so that when they get in a situation, they know how to react. Well, that's how we have to teach train our kids, right? So life situations, we take and we use them so that we can train them. So as parents, we always need to be thinking about life situations and how can we train our kids. Like I told this story a long time ago. Not really that excited about it, pretty embarrassed about it, but it's a good situation for showing you how to train, right? Like I was like, we had just moved into our house maybe 2 years, and Christine, you know, we had this fridge, and the fridge was an old fridge, and we had a small freezer on it, and Christine said, I want a freezer, so being the cheapskate I am, I hunted high and low and found this used freezer, you know, and I went to go get it. And, like, I'm not one to ask for help generally, so I went to get it by myself. And if you've seen our house has, like, especially up till a year ago, we used to have these steps at the front. The builder was, like, cheap, and he built these steps that looked more like a ladder. And then I had to take this thing up the stairs, and then I had to take it down into the basement. So I was up, like, almost, like, 8 steps and then down 13. Well, freezers aren't exactly easy to get your arms around, and it was pretty challenging. So I got it up the stairs, and by the time I got to the top of the stairs, I was already getting pretty ticked, right? And then I didn't look, right? But I started going down the stairs. And I got halfway down the stairs, and there's junk on the stairs. And I'm, like, halfway down with a freezer and nowhere to go, so I'm kicking junk, and I'm screaming and yelling and going, like, Christine, don't you think, don't you do anything? Like, what are you doing? You knew I was getting it. Why are you cleaning? Like an idiot, right? Like an idiot. Seriously. Like an idiot. And, like, I got to the bottom of the steps, and I put the freezer in place, and I'm like, oh, Ralph, you're so stupid. So I sat down with Christine, and I said, honey, I am so sorry that I treated you in that way. That was so wrong of me. But then my kids were there, front row center, too, for all this. So I sat them down on my knee, and they were little at the time. Like, Logan was probably 2, and Levi was probably 4. Sat one on each knee, and I said, you know what? That's never how a man treats his wife. That's wrong. And I'm really sorry. I said sorry to your mom, you heard me, but I'm saying sorry to you too. So I was a really bad example of a dad today. And I want you to forgive me. Will you forgive me? And they're like, oh yeah, Dad, no problem. No problem, Dad. But that was a life lesson for them. And it was a life lesson for me because it was hard to be humble and say sorry because, you know, like I could be pretty opinionated and strong. And, like, God was, like, just dealing with my heart. And I had to teach them, you know. And it was a perfect opportunity. And they treat their mother kindly. They love their mother. I haven't trained them to open the door for her yet, but we're working on that. I may get the timer out again. but, like, so then we're watching Kung Fu Panda. Great little movie, right? It's fine. It's kind of good. We watched the movie, and the kind of the moral of the movie is, like, you know what? If you think you can, you can. It's like the little engine that could. And I said, so, boys, what do you think about that movie? And they're like, well, this is a good movie. So what did it tell you? What life lesson did you learn from that movie? Well, that anything we think we could do it if we try hard enough. I said, is that a right thought? And they said, because they knew, right? It's a trick question. So they're like, well, no. And I said, well, why not? Well, they didn't know that answer. But the reason is because everything we can do through Christ who strengthens us. Even as we watch that giving video, right? Everything we have belongs to God. We teach that in our home. Everything belongs to God. Everything is given to us by God. So whenever we come home with something new, we thank God for it. Whenever, you know, I bring a new car into the driveway, you know, even if it's only a $500 car, we give thanks for it to God. And so I said, like, the problem with this movie is it's saying we don't need God. We could do it on our own. This is like, this is what they call humanism. This is saying that as human beings, we could do whatever we want as long as we're driven hard enough to do it. And it's wrong thought. It's wrong teaching. I said, but you need to learn to identify that. So when we watch movies, we teach our kids to identify wrong thinking, wrong thought. Because everything we do is a training experience for our kids. I remember Levi, when he was about 5 or 6, he loved Hot Wheels. Like every time we went to a store, Dad, can you get me a Hot Wheel? Right? And they had like piles of Hot Wheels, like hundreds of them. And like he lent one of his Hot Wheels, I think it was to Holly, right? And Holly, he kept asking her for the Hot Wheel and she kept not bringing it back. And he was getting like really, really ticked off. Like, Dad, it's my Hot Wheel. Why doesn't she bring it back? I go, like, you got like 200 Hot Wheels. Who cares? That was my favorite one, right? Well, he just like kept asking and she kept not bringing it and she probably just forgot. Maybe it wasn't even Holly. Maybe it was someone else. Maybe it's Judah. Judah's getting picked on today. But like, I finally sat down with him. I said, okay, Levi, like, this has been going on long enough, right? You're all angry at your friend because they haven't brought your Hot Wheel back. But this is what the Bible teaches us, right? To give. It teaches us to give. And if you give it away, it's a blessing to you, right? And it also teaches us to forgive, right? When we feel like someone's done us wrong, we need to forgive them. So we were driving along in the car, and we prayed, and we asked God to forgive the person, and we asked God to forgive Levi for his bad attitude, and we gave the car to Holly. So if Holly, if you still have it, it's yours. Don't worry about it anymore, right? But like, life lessons, right? Everything. We need to be diligent in teaching. We need to think things through. We need to help them. The idea of the verse is we talk about it. We teach them diligently. Talk about them when we sit in our house, when we walk by the way, when we lie down, when we rise up. So every part of our day, it's relentless. We just keep teaching and training and helping. Fourth point, and I'm going to end with this real quick. Remember that your kids are kids and that they are going to make mistakes, they are going to mess up, and they're going to do it regularly, and there's no shame in that. Kids are like, they're little. I got this boat, and I'm like learning all kinds of life lessons from my boat. One of my life lessons is we went out after we almost sank the boat, and we're trying to bring it back into dock, and I'm telling the kids, well, I'm figuring the kids know because I know, right? So they should know, right? I know how to bring a boat into dock as far as like grabbing hold of the dock and putting the bumpers out. And like they've never been in a boat with me before, but I know, so they should know. So like, I'm like, well, come on now, grab the dock, grab that, throw that over, blah. And they're like, Dad, relax. We don't know what we're doing, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, they don't know. So we talked about it, and I'm going to teach them more and more what they're supposed to do when we take the boat out. Because kids don't know everything. We say that, but we treat them like they do. So like when kids mess up in relationships and we tell them, you should know better, right? Well, they don't. When kids, you know, mess up with their money or when kids, you know, whatever, kids will make messes. You know, I remember one time, you know, like one of my boys was like, we were away on holidays and we came back and like I got a rumor that he was like swearing, right? And like I'm like, really? Well, okay. I mean, it's not beyond any kid, right? He was like, I don't know, 7, right? Grade 2, I think. And he was saying the D word, you know? And I was like, I'm going like, really? Yeah, every time he's playing hockey and every time someone scores on him, he says, D. And I'm like, Okay. I didn't get offended. I didn't get messed up about it. I didn't like get all upset. I just went to him and said, "You've been saying this word?" "Oh, yeah." I said, "Do you have any idea what it means?" "No." So I told him what it meant, you know, and he's like, face turns white, his mouth drops, and he's like, "I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry." You know, like, and like, he didn't know. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't use the word very much anymore. At least he doesn't use it where I hear about it, right? But like, seriously, kids don't know everything. So lighten up. Lighten up on yourself. Lighten up on them a bit. Take each time, right, to use as a learning experience. Again, 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, this is Paul talking, the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I no longer use childish ways," right? So there's a difference between a young person, a kid, and an adult. Kids will mess up. So when your child acts like a child, don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Don't even live in denial. Whenever your child messes up, sit down with them, train them, teach them on what to do right next time so they can do it. I find that parents react in two ways to their kids, generally. There's three. There's one good way and two bad ways. One, the bad way is whenever your kid messes up and you like go ballistic on them, like and freak out and lose it, you're not building a relationship. You're not putting making a level ground where you can actually build and think and talk and reason and love and all that, right? So one parent will go nutty on their kid and they're just so concerned that their kids do everything right and in place and proper and like they feel like if their kids mess up that it says something bad about them as a parent. Like I'm just telling you about all the bad things my kids have done and I don't feel like a worse parent for it, right? And I don't think my kids are worse kids for it. They're kids, right? So, and then there is the other parents that are totally in denial. Like, they think their kids never do anything wrong. They think their kids are the second coming of Jesus. They think, like, their kids, every other kid, right, that they hang around with is bad, but their kid is good. Their kid is never the kid. Their son never likes girls until he's 18. Their daughter's, you know, never has an impure thought. Their kid could steal something right in front of you, and they could be standing right there watching it, and if you question the kid, they get upset with you because their kid's perfect. That doesn't help the kid, doesn't help you. Kids make mistakes. Help your kids learn to live right. Right? The best way to deal with your kid is to realize they're going to make mistakes. Realize if someone tells you your kid's been saying bad words, that yeah, maybe they are. I should go talk to them about that. And then ask your kid, and if you're not a parent that freaks out all the time and loses their mind about everything, kids will usually tell you, "Oh yeah, yeah, I did that." And then you could have a place to talk about it. But like, do that. Like, realize their kids, discipline them, train them, teach them, walk with them, and everything will be good. So, we live in a crazy world. We've talked about that. Let's make our homes a safe place, right? We make it safe by loving our kids. We make it safe by not being afraid of our kids and just doing everything our kids want us to do. We make it a safe place by building walls and boundaries and protecting them. We make it safe by like loving our wife or our husband and loving them out loud so our kids can see it. They feel safe. They feel safe when they know that you guys are staying together, that you're going to love each other. They feel safe when you don't lose your mind about everything they do. They feel safe when you hug them and kiss them as you're going to do right after church. They feel safe. It's good for them. Let's invite the presence of God into our houses, right? Let's not leave here today and just say, it's good enough. You know, Jesus was good. It was good to be in church. What did he talk about again? Oh, yeah, something about hugging and kissing the kids. No, let's take it home. Let's walk it out. Let's live it out. And then, like, the last thing is let's ask God for wisdom. Because, God, we need wisdom. We need wisdom in a world of, you know, like, just confusion. In a world of pain, in a world where we see so many people going through just brutal pain, when we see like sexual confusion, and when we see all kinds of different confusion in our world, we need wisdom from God in how to walk our kids and our own selves through these times. So let's ask God to do that, okay? We're going to ask God that now. And we're going to close with this. Lord, we come to you and we just thank you that your word has the answers for our life. And Lord, that you not only gave us your word, but you promised you'd be with us, that you'd never leave us or forsake us, that you would give us the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and our teacher. So today, we just ask you, no matter what phase of life we're at, Lord, if we're older here, if we're like great-grandparents, Lord, help us to realize that we can help and influence our grandchildren on how to raise their kids and help them. Lord, help us to have wisdom to do that. Lord, if we're just like parents today, Lord, of children, and we are, like, maybe we've even made mistakes, Lord, even as some people, you know, have talked to me over this past couple of weeks and said, you know, our kids are teenagers now, and it's a challenge because we don't know what to do. And Lord, just pray for your wisdom for them. Lord, I pray for your wisdom and your presence in their homes so that, Lord, that the hearts of the children would be turned to the parents and the hearts of the parents would be turned to the children. Lord, I pray for the kids today. Lord, that they would have hearts that are really open to their parents. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would have hearts that, Lord, would just say, Lord, just teach me and help me. Be a parent to me, and Lord, I'll be a child to my parents. So Lord, today, whatever situation, wherever we are in life, Lord, give us wisdom today. Give us power today to live our lives your way. And I pray this in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, we're just going to have the band come forward. And if you need prayer for anything, if you say this morning, I need wisdom of God. I need the presence of God in my home. I maybe just don't have it right yet as a parent, but I want to get it right. And you know what? Just take a few minutes to come to the front and pray. If you're sick today, or if you just need prayer for someone that is sick, or if you're going through something, just come up to the front. We'd love to pray with you for a moment and just allow and just invite the presence of God into your life. All right? So don't wait. If you need prayer, come on forward. If you just want to make some commitments to God, do that. I praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. Be part, Lord, of everything we do. Lord, come into our hearts and our lives. Be number one, Lord. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord.